Shalom to all. Today's office bible sponsor Daf Samach Gimel. We are starting about the fifth line with the word pshita. And today's office sponsor Elul Nishmas Maris Meir Sar Basav Yaakov Moshe Her Neshama Shadav Aliyah. Elul Nishmas Maris Rivka Basav Meir Zev Her Neshama Shadav Aliyah. Elul Nishmas Maris From a Rezol Basav Shlomi Yaakov Her Neshama Shadav Aliyah. And she should be Meilus Yisher for her family and all of Klal Yisrael. As the Gemara tells us, pshita, it's obvious. Amar, if a fellow said Yachlek Plani B'Nechasai, that fellow should divide or take a portion of my nechasim. Palga, he means to give him half. However, Tenu Chelik LePlani B'Nechasai. My. Let's say the person said, give that person a chelek in my nechasim. How do we understand that statement? The lashon of yachlek is clearly mashma 50%, divide it equally. But the word give a chelek, what does that mean? As Amar Ravina Bar Kisi, he answers, Tashma. Titanyu of Brisa, Omer, if a person says, Tenu chelek leplani bar, give a chelek to that fellow from my bar. A bar refers to a water cistern or a water storage tank. So he means to say, give that fellow some of my water. Somchis Omer. Somchis tells us, in Pachas Mirviya, he doesn't get less than a quarter. Now, Shita Somchis is famous throughout Shas, Maman and multiple Suffolk Chalkin, that if we have a suffolk regarding Mominus, we're not so sure, we split it 50-50, halfway in the middle, half to this guy, half to that guy. And since our suffolk over here is, does he mean to give half, or does he just mean to give the tiniest amount? So it's Yechalku, we divide this amount in half, which means that the fellow receives a quarter of the bar. And that means we already have an answer to our question. At least according to Sumchis, the fellow receives a quarter of the property. Because again, we're not so sure if the fellow who's giving away his property means to give him a full half, or if he means to give him a tiny amount. So the Yechalku, the half halfway in between a half and a tiny amount is a quarter. Now we're going to have a few more cases that are all going to work the same exact way. Either the fellow means to give away the most minimum amount of water, which is basically a drop, a tiny amount, or he means to give away something more than that. And since we're not so sure, we're going to give half of that amount. So here's the next example. Let's say the fellow said, give that fellow some water from my bar, lechavis, for his chavis. Now chavis means for his animals. So he's basically saying, give him enough water for his animals. In Pachas Mishminis, the guy doesn't get less than an eighth of the amount of water that's here. Why is that? Well, that's because the maximum amount of water the owner himself is going to use from the bar for his animals is half, which means that the maximum amount he's going to be giving away is a quarter, and therefore, since we say achleiku, he gets half of a quarter, which is an eighth. On to the next example, likadeira, let's say he said, give him for his pot, which means he said, give him enough water for cooking, ain't pachas miyud beis, he doesn't get less than a twelfth. Why is that? Well, it's simple. The maximum amount of water the owner himself is going to use from this bar for cooking is a third, which means the maximum he would be giving away is a sixth, and once again, since we have a suffolk, we're not so sure if he means to give him that full amount, the sixth, or the tiniest amount, half of that is a twelfth. In our last example, if he said litafiach, give him for a cup, meaning give him for drinking, and pachas mishisha asar, the guy doesn't receive less than a sixteenth. Why is that? Because once again, the maximum amount the owner himself would use for drinking from this bar is a quarter, which means the maximum he would be giving away is an eighth, and therefore, since we have yachleiku, it's a suffolk, the fellow's going to receive a sixteenth. And also somewhat of a different topic, Tana Rabbanu, we have a braisa, ben levi shemachar sadal Yisrael, a levy that sold the field to a Yisrael, v'amrlein, you told him as follows, Almanas shemaisa rishon shali, on condition that I'm retaining the maisa rishon that grows from this field, because remember he's a levy, so he gets maisa rishon shalai, he gets to keep the maisa rishon of this field. Avim Amar, if he had said, li ulebanai, I'm retaining it, and even my children get to keep it, meaning when I die, this right to receive the maisa rishon of this field goes to my kids, so mace, when he dies, yitin lebanov, the buyer, the Yisrael, has to give the maisa rishon to the kids. However, vim Amar loy, if the seller, the levy, had told him, calls man shasad zubiyadcha, as long as this field is in your hands, machra, if the Yisrael sold it to somebody else, v'chazav lakcha, and then rebought it, in loyal of klum, the levy doesn't get anything, because he said, as long as it's in your hands, based off of this sale of ours, and since the Yisrael subsequently sold it to somebody else, it's not considered to be in his hands anymore, and rebuying it is considered something totally new, not connected to the levy. So I think we're asked on the first part of this braisa, amai, why is this? Why is it when the levy sells the field, he's able to somehow retain the maaser rishon for himself? It doesn't work. Ein adam maknei davar shalei ba'al olam. A person can't be makne, can't acquire something or give something over that's not here yet. Nothing has grown in this field yet, so he doesn't have any legal or halachic right to the maaser rishon that does eventually grow. It's loy bala olam, it's not here yet. How is it that he's able to retain that for himself? And the answer is, given to Amar Lei, since the levy had told the Yisrael, al menas shemaaser rishon shali, on condition the maaser rishon is mine, shiurei shairi lamakom maaser, it means that he's leaving over the place of maaser, which means he's retaining rights in the field itself. He's retaining some sort of ownership, and that's sufficient enough that he's able to acquire the maaser once it grows. And this is the key of the braisa. When a person makes an unnecessary or redundant or perhaps not relevant statement in the sale, in the document, we explain that to mean that he retains a certain level of bialis of ownership and that the sale is not 100%. In this case, he's selling the majority of the field, but he is retaining some sort of bialis in as much that now he has the rights to the maaser. Now, based off of this, Amar Shlakish Shlakish says, Zoyser Maris, this tells us, if a person sells his house to his friend, and he tells him, I'm selling selling you the house on condition that the Dutel Yoina, the upper Dutel, which basically means the roof and its fence, that belongs to me. So Dutel Yoina Shaloi, the Dutel Yoina, the roof and the fence still remain by the seller and he gets to use them. Now there has to be some sort of chiddush hidden in what Reish Lakish is saying, because we already know from our Mishnah 2 daf ago that when a person sells a house, the roof is not included in that sale. And therefore this statement is irrelevant, it's unnecessary, it's redundant, it's extra. He doesn't need to say, I'm retaining rights to the roof. We already know he retains the rights to the roof. So what's Reish Lakish trying to teach us? What's the chiddush over here? And that's what the Gemara Sabachim Alon Beis on top asks, Lamai Hilchasa, in regards to what din is Reish Lakish telling us this? So we have Machlekes. Rav Zvid Amar Zvid says, She'im Ratzel Haitzi Bazizin, Maitzi, that if he wants to stick beams out of this roof, he's allowed to. If we just had the previous Mishnah, we would say he gets to keep the roof and he's allowed to use it, but he's not allowed to stick beams out over the roof into the airspace of the Chatzer, because that was sold to the buyer, and he's not allowed to stick his beams out to somebody else's property. And that's what Reish Lakish is telling us, that we're interpreting his statement, I'm retaining the Dutel Yoina for myself, that he's even allowed to stick beams out into the other person's property. Now, Rav Papa says that no, what's he saying? She'im Ratzel Livnes Ali Al Gaba, Baina, that if he wants to build an upper level on top of it, he's allowed to. And we're going to see later on in the Gemara, this refers to when the house falls down, he has the rights to rebuild the Aliyah. Now we have these two understandings of what Reish Lakish is saying. The Gemara asks, Bishlam Rav Zvid, we understand according to Rav Zvid's explanation, Hanu Gitani Zoy Samaras. That's what Reish Lakish said, Zoy Samaras. El Rav Papa, my Zoy Samaras. But according to Rav Papa's explanation of Reish Lakish, what's the Zoy Samaras doing here? Let's just have a quick review to understand what the question is. Everyone agrees that the Brice is teaching us something unique, as we had already explained, that we interpret the person's unnecessary statement to mean that he actually retains a certain level of bias of ownership and the sale is on 100%. Namely, in the case of the Brisa, Levi is selling his field, and the chiddush is that even though it seems like he's selling the entire field, his lashon of I want the Meiser Rishon indicates that he's retaining actual ownership of the property enough that he gets to keep the Meiser. And then Reish Lakish said a din regarding selling a house and retaining the roof that has to do with this Brisa, and Rav Zvid's explanation is consistent with the Brisa. Although the roof is not included, as we already learned in the Mishnah, he's not allowed to stick beams out into the buyer's airspace, and it's only when the seller mentioned this seemingly unnecessary statement, keeping the roof for himself, it must mean that he's actually retaining real ownership of it in as much that he can stick beams out. But according to Papa, he's not retaining bias ownership in this, he's just allowing himself more rights of usage. Before the stipulation of his, he was allowed to use the roof, but not rebuild it if the house fell down, and now, based off this tonight of his, he's also allowed to rebuild it. But again, that doesn't require him to retain ownership rights, and that's what the Gemara is asking right now. According to Papa, why does Reish Lakish say, Zoy Seimeres? This Brisa teaches us the following. No, it doesn't. The Brisa is referring to ownership, bias, and Rav Papa's explanation, Reish Lakish, is not talking about that. And as the Gemara concludes, Kasha, you're right, that's a good question. And we continue with a similar case, discussing selling a house, and the question is whether or not a bar, this water cistern that's in the house, is included in the sale. So Rav Dimon Radar says as follows, Hi ma demaz malei beis al chavri, a person selling a house to his friend, afakav de kosvalei umka veruma, even though in the shtar, he wrote the words umka veruma, that I'm selling you the house, and its depth, and its height, a bar that's in the house is not included. He has to write the following for him. It's acquired to you, meaning you're buying along with this house, the tohoim ara, the depths of the earth, all the way up until the heights of the sky. And only then he's kind of bar that's in the house. Now, my time, why is that, says Rav Dimi? Well, because the umka varuma bestama loikani. If a person just sells a house plain, the depths and the height of the house are not included in that, which means the seller still retains rights to the ground underneath the house. So he's technically allowed to dig a tunnel under the house and use that to his heart's content because he never sold the imek of the house. And therefore, hani umka varuma lemikne umka varuma. When he writes umka varuma in the shtar, that helps that the buyer now acquires umka varuma, and so the buyer is allowed to dig as much as he wants below the house. He can dig a tunnel 1,000 feet deep if he wants because he bought umka varuma. That still doesn't include a bar which is already built into the house because a pre-dug bar is not part of umka varuma. It's also not part of the standard hashtamshes of a house, and therefore it's not included in the sale. And the only way it would be included is with the following, Vahani mitohim arav ad remerkia, this lashon would help lemikna bar vidosu mechilos, for the buyer to acquire all these things as well. Because again, these are pre-dug, they're pre-made, and they're not part of the normal shtamshes of the house, and that's why they're not included in the sale unless this actual lashon was used. The Gemara suggests, Lame Sayele, let's say the following, which is the next Mishnah, is a raya for Rav Dimi. We say in the next Mishnah, Vloisa bar vloisa dos alf bishakas vloi umka varuma, that a bar and a dos are not included in the sale of a house, even though umka varuma was written in the shtar, a bar and dos is not included. We have to have a different lashon. And that's just like Rav Dimi said. And how do we see this from the Mishnah? Because v'isak datach bestama kani umka varuma, they want to say that a standard sale of a house includes the umka varuma, so lahani umka varuma lemikni bar vidosu mechilos. That means that when umka varuma is written in the shtar, it must be that it's extra, it's not necessary to be written, and therefore it's also including a bar and a dos and mechilos. And the Mishnah seems to be saying, not like that, that even though umka varuma was written, it's still not including bar and dos. That's just like Rav Dimi. The Gemara says, no, it's not a raya. The loy kasavlei. The Mishnah is talking about a case where umka varuma was not written in the shtar. Ask the Gemara, how could you say that? About The Mishnah says, even though it was written for him, so it clearly was written in the shtar. The Gemara answers, no. Hachikamar, this is what the Mishnah is trying to tell us. Even if Umkav Ruma was not written in the shtar explicitly, Kimisha Kosav Dami, it's as if it was written in as much Lamikni Umkav Ruma that the buyer of the house acquires Umkav Ruma. But Lamikni Bar Vados Mechilos, but in regards Lamikni Bar Vados Mechilos, to acquire these things that were already pre dug in the house, E Kosav Loi Umkav Ruma Kani, only if Umkav Ruma was written, then he would acquire them, be like Kosav Loi Kani, but if they weren't written, he would not acquire them. So that's technically what we can learn from the Mishnah, and that's not a raya for Avdimi. So more times another raya, Toshma, our previous Mishnah from two daf ago says as follows, then when the house is sold, a roof that has a 10 tefach fence around it is not included in that sale. If you want to say that in a standard sale of a house, Umkav Ruma is included, just because the fence around the roof is 10 tefachim high, why should that make a nafkamina and that not be included in the sale? It should be included in the standard sale. That's considered Ruma, the height of the house, meaning the roof above it should be included. It must be, since the Mishnah says that it's not included, that Umkav Ruma is not included in the sale unless it's clearly stipulated. The Gemara says it's not a raya. Kivin de gavaya asar tefachim chashiv. This particular case mentioned by the Mishnah is different because the fence around the roof is 10 tefachim tall. That makes it a special unique place, a makam chashiv, as we had explained in the Mishnah, and that's why it's not included in the sale. But it could be that in a standard sale of a house, even if Umkav Ruma is not written, perhaps the roof is included in the sale as long as the fence around the roof isn't 10 tefachim tall. That's no raya from here either. The Gemara continues. I'm going to reveal Ravashi. Ravina told Ravashi, Tashma, I'm going to bring a raya against Rav Dimi from something that we just brought previously. Dumb Rishlakish had said, Zoysa Meir, so Brass is teaching us, if a person sells a house to his friend, Ramarloni tells him, Amanasha Dutel Yona Shali, on condition that the Dutel Yona is mine, Dutel Yona Shalai, he gets to keep the Dutel Yona. Vermina, we had said, Lamai Hilchsa, in regards to what Halacha Rishlakish is teaching us this, and we had two different explanations. Rizvid Amar Rizvid said, Shayim Ratzal Haitzi Bazizin, Maitzi, that if he wants to stick beams out of the roof over the buyer's airspace, no problem, he's allowed to do that. Whereas Rapapa said, Shayim Ratzal Livna Sali Al Gaba, Baina, that he's retaining it for himself, and as much that if he wants to build an Ali on top of it, he could build. Now here's attempted proof against Rav Dimi, the Isak Datech Bestamo Loikani. If you want to say that in standard sale of a house, Umkav Ruma is not acquired, Solomali Almanas. Why does the person have to say, Almanas, I'm retaining the roof rights for myself? He doesn't have to say that. He automatically retains the roof rights for himself. It must be that since he had to expressly stipulate it, that it's not like Rav Dimi, and if he wouldn't have said it, he would have lost the rights to the roof. So my answer is that's also not a disproof against Rav Dimi, because a Hani Le Almanas, Dinafil, Hadar Bani La. The Almanas over here helps that if the house falls down, he could rebuild the Aliyah and he still retains rights to it. In other words, it's very possible that Umkav Ruma is not included in the sale of a house unless it's expressly stipulated, and the only reason why this person had to dafka mention I'm keeping the Dutel Yoyna is in regards to an extra Hishtamshus, like we explained previously in Rav Papa, that if the house falls down, he still retains the rights to rebuild that Aliyah, that roof, and continue using it. So our two attempted Rayas for Rav Dimi didn't work out, but our attempted disproof against Rav Dimi also didn't work out. We're going to stop here for the day and pick up tomorrow, continue to talk about selling things and what's included in that sale. For now, everyone should have a wonderful day.